Apostle Paul says to those things writing to us,
we beg you, brethren, to know those who labour among you and take their lead among you in the Lord and admonish you and to regard them exceedingly in love on account of their work. Now, Phil's already told you this, but it's worth just going back and reflecting. Paul's writing to a little company of Christians in Thessalonica in northern Greece today. He's writing to them probably about 20 years after Jesus died and was raised again, so right back at the beginning of Christianity. And Paul had been there. He'd been there somewhere around about AD 50. And as Phil told you, he'd been and worked in their synagogue for about 3 weekends. That was all. And then he was persecuted and he had to leave. And the people that came with him had to leave too. But he left behind a company in Thessalonica that the scripture tells you, it's in Acts 17. It tells you had people in it who were Jews, who had listened to him in the synagogue and become Christians. They trusted Jesus. And it had a great number of other people, who it calls Greeks, Gentiles, who had been worshipping idols and were pagans and heathens. And now they'd come to Christ. And they were there with these Jews in this little company. And Paul seems probably to be writing the epistle to the Thessalonians, the first one, to that little company about a year after he'd been there. So probably about only 1 year old, this little company. And he has some things to say to them to encourage them. And he has some things to say which are quite relevant to us today. And here's one. Paul says to that little company, he says, I want you to look and notice and see who it is in your little company who's labouring among you. Who's doing the work? You're all doing something in that little company. Everybody has a role. But Paul says there's some people in your company who are working particularly hard and you need them. And they take the lead among you in the Lord. And sometimes they admonish you. That means tell you off. And he says, I want you to regard them exceedingly in love on account of their work. Now, I don't find this hard to understand at all, this little message, because I don't know if you can see that. You might need to dim the lights a little bit there. Because I grew up in a place called Seven Oaks when I was a boy. Right? And we had a little meeting there, a little Christian meeting. Right? And there they are. There's a photo, it's a bit blurred because it's old, it's from the late 1970s. And maybe you recognise some of these people. Look, that's why I've got this kid. Right? This is Trevor Gidlow. Right? 6'5" now or something like that. There he is. This is Keith Gidlow. See? Brown hair. Things change, don't they? This is Rachel Frame, Nick and James's mum. There's a little girl. Not that one. This one. This is me. With hair. Look at that brown hair. And you see, when I grew up in Seven Oaks, there were three people there in that little company who did most of the work. They organised the meetings. They made them happen. When we were there in the meetings, they prayed, they taught, they preached, they arranged the preachers. They did things like on a Saturday afternoon, they went around the old folks' homes and invited loads of people in to come and hear a gospel and have a tea. They did it all, as far as I could see. And I respected them. I'm even going to show you who they are. Look. There they are. This one here, is Mark Lemon, peeking over the shoulder. That's typical of him. This is Len Gidlow, Keith and Trevor's dad. This is my dad. Right, they did the work. They made it happen. Paul says, not again. Paul says, he says, look, notice who labours among you, who takes the lead, who admonishes you. Every single one of those three has told me off in my lifetime. I can remember them as well, and I didn't enjoy it, but they were right. One of them's my dad. He's told me off a lot. That's what admonishing is. But you see, as I grew older, I grew to realise that I loved them. All three of them. Just like Paul says, you should do. I respected them for their Christianity. I loved them for the way they treated me as a child and like they were my father. All of them in their different ways. That's what Paul's saying. He was saying it long ago to the people in Thessalonica. He says it to you and me today. He says, notice who's taking the lead, doing the work. Love them for it. Look at this. Hands up if you're in that photo. So I'm not going to ask you anything, sorry. Now, it's a bit blurred, I know, but you can make out who's in there. Some of them are mostly, perhaps half of them are from Basildon. Hands up who's from Basildon. Right, Joe, now I need you, please. So those are for AD. He's just there. Put him on his head, please. And so those are for Eunice, wherever she is. They're deafness, you're not meant to hear. It's fine. Oh, put them on. You'll miss it, yeah. That's the idea. Right. Now, my question for you in Basildon, and the rest of you can think about your local meetings, is who does the work? Paul says, notice who's doing the work, who labours amongst you, who makes it happen, who drives the minibus, who provides the food, who organises the Sunday school, who organises the Friday nights, who does the teaching, who does the praying, who makes sure you've got a preacher, who? It's right, isn't it? That's why they've got their headphones on. That's all Paul's saying. He's saying it to all of us. Notice who's doing the work. Just notice. And he says, not again. No, doesn't work, does it? I'll come back to it. And he says, love them. Love them. And it's a strong word for love. He says, love them a lot. That's what he says in the verse. So you can take them off, ladies. Yeah? Respect them. See who's doing the work. See who makes it all happen for you. Paul says, respect them, listen to them, especially when they tell you off and they've got things to say, when they're admonishing you, listen to them and love them. Now, love is an interesting thing, because some people think it's a nice warm feeling deep down inside. Well, perhaps it is sometimes, to be honest. But the way the Bible describes love, love is doing things. So if you love them, and you know who's doing it in your where you are in your local Christian meeting, help them, encourage them, look after them, care for them like they care for you. And one day, when they're in trouble, stand by them, be there. All three of those chaps in my meeting, those brothers, when I was growing up, they all grew old and they all grew sick and they could not do it anymore. Two of them have died. My dad is still alive, but he's frail. There comes a time when it's your turn to look after them, to listen to them, to do what's needed. That's what Paul calls love. Right. Part two. There we are. That's quicker. Paul says to those Christians long ago, be at peace amongst yourselves. We exhort you, brethren, do this. Admonish the disorderly, comfort the faint-hearted, sustain the weak, be patient towards all, see that no one renders to any evil for evil, but pursue always what is good towards one another and towards all, rejoice always. I'm going to read you something from the Bible. Right, this is from the beginning of Thessalonians. If you think about that little company long ago, right, it was made up of some people who were Jews who probably knew their scriptures quite well. And it was made up of a lot of people, who were Gentiles, who didn't know their scriptures, and this was all new to them. I don't even know where they found copies of the Old Testament to read. There was no New Testament they were living in. Right? And so, to teach them something, Paul employs some language that you and I recognise today, and they would have recognised then. This is chapter 2 of Thessalonians. And in one verse, Paul says to them, in this Darby translation, he says, but I, Paul, and those who came with me, in verse 7, we've been gentle in the midst of you, as a nurse would cherish her own children. Or other translations will say, we've behaved in the midst of you, gently, as a mother would look after her children. Then in verse 9, he calls them brethren, brothers and sisters. And then in verse 11, he says, this is how I behaved when I was amongst you for those 3 weekends. He says, you know how, as a father, his own children, we used to exhort each one of you and comfort and testify. Paul says, we behaved amongst you like a mother does with her children, or like a father does with his children. That's how we behaved. You were like brothers and sisters to us. And the people in Thessalonica would recognise that, because it's describing how people behave in a family. He's using the language of a family. And we recognise that and see it today. Sometimes that's how God describes his church. His the way believers are together. He describes them as a family. So I thought we might just look at that for a minute, because this language here is the language of how you behave in a family when a family's going well. Those are my family. I was going to put a picture of my wife, but she's over there if you want to look at her. That's James on the left, that's Andrew on the right. It was taken a few weeks ago, they've grown up. They're in their 20s now. But they weren't always that big. Years ago, they were small. That's my youngest on the right, that's my eldest on the left in heavy disguise. Families. You know, what God wants you to do when you're a parent, and what you want to do most of the time, is you want to bring up your kids so that they stop doing the things that are bad and they enjoy doing the things that are good. If you want it at its simplest, that's what you want. And to do that, you have to tell them off when they do stuff that's wrong. You just have to. We had naughty corners. Right? We had two naughty corners, one each indoors, two naughty corners in the garden. That's Ginger in his naughty corner in the garden. Right? He had been told off, and he had to stand in that corner for a few minutes, so he recognised that he'd done something that was wrong. God says in the church, you sometimes have to admonish the unruly, some translations say, or the disorderly. You have to speak to people and say, look, what you're saying, what you're doing, how you're behaving is out of order. Paul says, please do it. And he says to those who are having it done to them, he says, please listen to them, those that work amongst you, and love them, and do what they say. You have to admonish the disorderly. Sometimes when you admonish the disorderly, they don't always appreciate it. That is my eldest son in his corner in the garden, and I'm not going to give you a close-up because there's a hand gesture being offered towards the camera. People don't always appreciate being admonished. There's my youngest, first day of school, ready to go, age 4 or 5. He's got his new uniform on, standing on the doorstep of our house, ready to go. He's got his sandwich box in his hand. He's probably Thomas the Tank Engine. He's got his new school book bag in the other hand. And if you look, he's got a slightly nervous smile on his face. It's what parents do. When your children are facing a challenge like that, it's a big thing. So what do? You get down, don't you? Down to their level. And you look them in the eye and you say, son, it's going to be a good day. You're going to make some new friends. You're going to have a play in the playground. You're going to learn some stuff. Your teacher will be nice. I know you're a bit worried inside, but just go for it, son. And when you get home tonight at bedtime, tell me all about it. Comfort the faint-hearted. Paul says, do that in the church. All sorts of people will be worried about stuff at times. Not quite have the courage to do what they need to do. It's your job, all of you, to see who needs comforting, needs a bit of encouragement, just needs a bit of help on the way. Comfort the faint-hearted. I was looking for a picture of when the children were ill. You don't take photos, do you, when the children are ill? Don't sneak into the bedroom and have a snapshot of them with chicken pox. It's one for the family album. But if you look closely at that photo, my eldest son on the left has got a patch on his eye. Can you see that? When he was 3, almost on his birthday, that eye suddenly shot into the side. It was out of line. So they put a patch on it, so he couldn't see out of it for about 9 months, and then he had an operation. And he fixed it. It's still fixed. But your kids get ill, don't they? Your children get ill. And what do? You get the medical help. You get the medicines. You look after them. It's just what you do as a parent. You sustain the weak. Same in the church, Paul says. Same in the church. Your local company. Your job is to see if somebody's not too good. If they're not well physically, look after them. If they're not well spiritually, I'll look after them. Paul says, sustain the weak. Be patient towards them. There's something about little children which is lovely, and there's something about little children which requires a great deal of patience. Ask Hannah. She does this all day. Little kids. Paul says it's the same in the church. You see, when they're small, they don't see things the same as you. You see things from, well, I'm up here, I'm about 5'8"-ish, right? So I see things from this level. They see things from down here, where the world looks different, and their problems are different. And people are more scary to them than they are to you. Paul says, just recognise that in your church, people will see, in your little local meeting, sometimes people will see things differently to you. Try and see what they're seeing. Try and crouch down beside them. Try and be with them. Work it out with them. And just use patience, he says. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, patience. This is our kitchen table years ago. It's not a very good photo. But we had a small kitchen. That's a fold-up table. It's a bit flimsy. But we used it every day. The boys sat one each side and Jean sat here. You can see her breakfast bowl. There was a reason they sat each side. They thought we couldn't see their legs. And then every now and again, one of them would kick the other under the table. There's actually a complete giveaway, because if you're at the top of the table and you're looking, they generally did something like this with their face and kicked underneath. So it's a bit of a giveaway. It's not something you want to happen at your breakfast table. And you have to stop it. One way to stop it is to say, just don't do that. Off you go. Tell them. We found another way to do it. Paul said to them, see that no one renders to any evil for evil. Or if you like, in the language of that room, don't kick back. Don't render evil for evil. Don't kick back. We bought a longer table. But in your local company, Paul says, don't let anyone render evil for evil. If something wrong is done, take it on yourself somehow. Pray, maybe. Just whatever. Try and make sure that the other person doesn't kick back. Paul said to them, pursue always what is good towards one another and towards all. And I'll come back to where I started, because this is what a parent wants. Right? You want your children to learn not to do the bad stuff. And you want your children to learn to do things that are good. And in the church, you want everybody to learn, including yourself, not to do the stuff that God says is bad. And to love the stuff that God says is good, and to do that. And if you find yourself in a place where that is happening, I think you'll find it's a happy family home. And it's a happy church. A happy meeting. Paul says, rejoice always. Sometimes you're sad, aren't you? Sometimes you cry. We all do. Sometimes life is rough. But somewhere inside you, you've got hope because you're a Christian. And deep inside you is something, a little light that's burning away, that will flicker back if you let it. And flame again. You're alive because you're a Christian. Because you know Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit's in your soul. You're alive. You can rejoice again. The day will come. The moment will come. When your heart is singing again. Paul said to them in Thessalonica, rejoice always. I've finished. This is almost the last slide. This is something that God does in the Bible. He has an idea, he has something that he wants to explain to you, which is so big or so different that you and I struggle to take it in. So he tells you it from lots of different ways. So there are millions of Christian believers on earth today. The gospel that started at Pentecost has spread. People have heard it and believed it and found Jesus. It's marvelous. God describes that if you put all those people together who believe in Jesus, he describes them in many different ways so that you can understand what it means to him. Sometimes he describes them as disciples of Jesus, followers of Jesus. Sometimes he describes them as a body, arms and legs, a body that works together. Sometimes in the scripture he describes those people as a bride waiting for a bridegroom is how he describes it. A church, a Christian assembly, whatever language you want to use, waiting for Jesus. And while they're waiting, serving him and behaving like this. And sometimes he describes that group of people like a family. These are all words from the New Testament. You can find them. God describes some people as Christians, as little children. We're children of God. Some of us are fathers, some of us are mothers, some of us are sisters, some of us are brothers to each other. And we have a Heavenly Father. And there, I've underlined it, written across it all. God has said to us, I will be to you for a father, and you shall be to me for sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You're my family, is what he says. I want you to behave like Jesus, look like Jesus inside, be like Jesus, enjoy one another's company, be together. That's my last slide. It's where we started. Paul said that little company long ago. He said, I want you to notice who's doing the work, who's labouring, who's leading, who's admonishing you, and I want you to love them. And then he said to them, I want you to be in peace amongst yourselves. I want you to admonish the disorderly. I want you to comfort the faint-hearted. I want you to sustain the weak. I want you to be patient towards everyone. I want you to see that no one renders any evil for evil. And I want you, please, to pursue what is good towards one another and towards all. It's like a description of Jesus, isn't it? As you read those words, just let them run into your mind and think of Jesus for a minute. That's how he behaved. That's how he is. If you know Jesus, you can rejoice quietly in your heart now. You can rejoice always.